This is the Medic Cast, August 9th, 2010.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
This is the Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the pod medic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the Medic Cast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show this week. We have a lot of good information coming out in this week's episode, including a great interview segment with Natalie Quibido and Jeremiah Bush, who are the originators of the pretty amazing new video program about EMS called Mutual Aid TV. And they'll explain a little bit more about that, but that'll be coming up in this episode following the news and commentary coming up here in just a little bit. I also want to remind any of you that are watching this, I'm currently, if you're watching this the day it comes out on the 9th, I'm actually in Colorado right now at the Community Paramedicine Roundtable Conference. The IRCP conference happens once a year somewhere internationally. It's in the United States right now, and who knows when it'll be back. So I'm looking forward to the things I'm going to be picking up while I'm at this conference. If you want to find out what I'm learning and some of the things I'm checking into while I'm out there, including some video segments I'll be videotaping while I'm there, you can follow all of that by following me on Twitter, twitter.com/podmedic, or over on the Facebook fan page for the Medic Cast, facebook.com/medic cast. I'll be updating both of those, Twitter probably more regularly because it's easier to do, but I'll also be updating the fan page with some information pretty at least once a day or so. So you want to follow me there and find out what's going on. But I will be bringing back the video that I record there, including a segment I'm doing on easy ways to implement community paramedicine programs in your area using existing tools. And so I'll have that segment here as part of the Medic Cast here in the next couple of weeks or so. In the meantime, I want to remind you that I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're doing in EMS, and the best way to do that is to send me an email, 941-306-3342, 941-30-MEDIC is your voicemail line, and of course, send me an email as well to podmedic@mac.com. Either of those methods are great ways to catch up with me, the voicemail or the email line, and either way, send me your ideas, your thoughts, your comments, maybe a correction that I need to make if I've misspoken in some way. Any way we can to make this one of the best communities and clearinghouses of good quality information every week here at the Medic Cast. So I hope that you will continue to do that and support that, and I look forward to hearing from all of you here real soon. Speaking of contacting me, let's jump on into this week's email segments, listener mail and contacts. And I got some information in from a couple of my regularly submitted blog resources out there. You know, if you've, I know you follow other blogs. I do too. One of the people in the social media space that I follow quite a bit is Carissa O'Brien. Carissa has a blog called BaselineVitals.com, and she's actually going to be relaunching that with some new stuff here soon. But Carissa and I are working hard on what we're going to be doing at EMS Expo this year, coming up in just about 2 months. So it's going to be here before we know it, just at the end of September. And Carissa and I are working hard on finding ways that we can do some podcasting and some other exciting things at EMS Expo in Dallas coming up here at the end of September. So I heard from Carissa about that. Just to let you know, there are some limited podcast sponsorship opportunities out there. Not very expensive. We're talking, you know, $500 to $700 range. If you'd like to sponsor a podcast episode to be recorded live with video at the expo, you should let me know. If you have a company or maybe your organization would like to sponsor something, if you're looking to hire new EMS providers and you want to get your word out there, this would be a great way to do it. And I just wanted to let you know that there are a limited number. Now, when I say limited, I mean seriously limited, maybe only like 10 available. So if you want to get in on the ground floor, I haven't called anyone else about this. if you're listening to this show, you might be able to snap up one of those before some of the big companies come in and snap it up. And you'll be right on the same playing field with the big boys in that case, because we'll talk about your company. We'll give you a free 5-minute segment on the show to talk about whatever you want with myself or one of the other podcast hosts. And then you can hang out and be on the panel if you want, or you can just kind of stick around and we'll get you a copy of the video segment after the expo's over. And you'll be able to say, hey, you were part of the podcasting at EMS Expo. And you can put that video up on your website or do whatever you want with it. So it'll be a great opportunity for you. And Carissa, thanks for shooting me that email. I'm glad that that's coming together. And I hope that if you're going to EMS Expo in Dallas, that you make sure you come by and see me, see Chris Montera, Carissa O'Brien, and the other podcasters and social media types from EMS that are going to be there. I'm looking forward to catching up with all of you. Let's check on in with another email I got. Actually, this particular email came in from Rogue Medic, and Rogue Medic's been a guest here on the show before. I also run into him quite a bit when I'm on the EMS Garage with Chris Montera over at emsgarage.com, and just wanted to let you know they had a great discussion this past week on oxygen and our overuse of oxygen for our patients in EMS. Are we just giving oxygen because we're told to give oxygen? Or are we giving oxygen because our patient needs oxygen? They had a great discussion on that. I wasn't able to be on that discussion, but I know it was just going to be fabulous. So Rogue Medic sent me an email checking in to let me know about some of the studies they dredged up, some of the information that I think is important for all of you to know about. And you should definitely check out this next episode of the EMS Garage. Actually, when this episode comes out, you'll actually probably be the episode just before this episode of the MedicCast. But go to emsgarage.com, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it over there. And Rogue Medic, hey, it's always great to hear from you, dude. Thanks a lot for including me in that email blast out to the other panelists over at the EMS Garage episode. Finally, I had a great time with a post that I put up over at the MedicCast Facebook fan page this past week. Now, I always try to maybe once a week or so ask a question and try to get some ideas of what consensus is among the listeners. And some of them get a lot of answers, some of them don't. I got like 20 answers or so, 19 or 20 answers on this particular topic when I asked, what was your favorite part of your EMT or paramedic program when you were in school? And so it was a great topic for discussion, and I heard back from listeners all kinds of things. People liked trauma, people enjoyed checking out the equipment. Other people enjoyed the whole process. A lot of people said they liked when it was over, which I have to concur. Anybody who hasn't taken that kind of a program before just doesn't understand the type of material and information that you have to cram into your brain. It's unlike many other classes. If you haven't taken a program that's involving understanding and wrapping your brain around medical knowledge like that, it really is quite different from what a lot of people are used to with regards to school and classes. So I agree with that. But if you haven't checked out the MedicCast fan page over at Facebook, you should. Facebook.com/MedicCast. And click the like button there at the top of the page. Share your thoughts on the MedicCast wall. And if I post a question there, go ahead and answer it. It's important for us to share this information. And when you put your information out there, it lets other folks find out that maybe they had the same thought and they now don't feel like it was a weird thought because you shared it too. So too often we keep things to ourselves. And I think one of the things that we can do to make our profession stronger is to foster these connections. And I'm hoping that the MedicCast fan page will be part of that. And I would encourage you to continue to support the MedicCast fan page and continue to respond back when I have some questions and ideas that I post over there. I really am asking for your feedback. I really want to hear what you thought of an episode I posted or a video I posted. It's important for me to understand what you're looking for in the MedicCast so that I can try to provide a show that is both interesting and informative to you all, the listeners and viewers of the show. I did say viewers, so don't forget you can find video of the MedicCast now. The ProMed Network at ProMedNetwork.com is now on something called the Roku Box. Roku box. What's a Roku box? Well, the Roku box is basically a little set-top box, a little square thing that plugs into your TV, plugs into your internet, either wirelessly or you can plug in an Ethernet cord, and it will connect your living room television directly to an internet connection. And you can get web TV, internet TV from all kinds of different channels. The good news is the ProMed Network now has a channel on the Roku box. So this box costs less than $100. It can provide you with information of all different kinds of channels. They have a whole bunch of partnerships. You can find out more at roku.com. That's R-O-K-U.com. But I'm really excited about the ProMed Network getting on there and having a channel on that program box because, quite honestly, this is an opportunity for us to use video more effectively. Now, think about this. If you're in your station house and you had a Roku box on there, you could access the programming at the ProMed Network right in the break room, easily showing all of this information to anywhere in your station that you wanted to present the Medicast program, perhaps any of the other shows. We have great programs like the Chronicles of EMS Seat at the Table discussions are now on the ProMed Network and are on the ProMed Roku Box channel. So you guys should check this out. It might be an option for not just your home, but also for use in your station, in your different facilities. And I think it's a great way to put this type of information out there. And so I'm looking forward to it. Of course, you can also find the video episodes by going directly to medicast.tv, and that'll be able to show you any of the videos that I've posted, including the episode studio videos that I record every week when I do this show, as well as the Medicast TV weekly commentary and any other thing that I happen to come across during the week, I will be posting in the segments. And you can find that again at medicast.tv. And I want to thank Roku and also my partners in the ProMed Network over at rawvoice.com for supporting and providing an avenue like this for getting our shows out there. Let's jump on into this week's news real quick, and just a couple of quick news stories this week before we get into our interview segment. And I want to start off with a story about calcium supplements. How many of us have patients when they give us their list of meds and we see that they take like 8 different types of vitamins, calcium supplements and minerals, this and ginkgo biloba, and don't even get me started on supplements. A lot of them really don't have a use. Many cases, they're just pissed away, essentially. But in this case, this is something that's important. A lot of our female patients, especially our older female patients, are taking calcium supplements in an effort to stave off the effects of osteoporosis. And a recent study has come out that pointing to the fact that they may be increasing their risk for heart attack at the same time that they're taking these additional calcium supplements. So a recent study basically looked at patients who were taking calcium supplements and those who were taking placebos to compare the different effects of those calcium supplements on them over a multiple year period. Lots of patients were in this study. They reviewed the data and they found that while the risk for heart attack was low for all of the patients, patients who were taking calcium supplements had a significantly increased risk, up to a 30% increased risk for heart attack over those in the control group. And that's a significant jump. Even though the numbers are still very low for the total group, what would you do to reduce your risk of heart attack by a third? And basically, it seems to be that this is related to taking too much calcium in. Ultimately, the response from the medical community is you shouldn't be taking calcium supplements unless you have a known calcium deficiency. However, if you are taking calcium supplements right now under the direction of your doctor, don't stop. Why do I tell all of you this? What does an EMT or a paramedic need to know about calcium supplement prescriptions and why patients are taking them? Well, a couple of things. First off, you should understand when stories like this come out because you are going to encounter patients who are taking these types of meds. And you may actually see a pile of different vitamin bottles on the table in their kitchen when you're at their house. We see things that the rest of the medical establishment doesn't always see. And we have an opportunity to provide that information to be passed along to the next part of the chain. patients don't always add in their vitamin supplements and their other nutritional supplements to their medication list. But in this case, and in many other cases, they should be. So don't forget to ask about any other supplements, vitamins, nutritional supplements, things that they take in addition to meds, because patients in their brains see, oh, you want my, what medications do you take? Well, I take aspirin and I have a beta blocker and that's all I take. And of course, they take like 18 different vitamin supplements on top of it. And some of those vitamin supplements and nutritional supplements could be causing some interactions with their meds. So we need to know about herbal supplementation and we need to know about additional vitamins. And we can pass that information along to the hospital. And perhaps this patient needs to have their med list reviewed, including those other things. So I just, that's the one thing I want you to know. Also, you may get asked about this by your patients and they may say to you, yeah, I heard about that and I just stopped taking it. Well, you should let them know and remind your patients that just because somebody read something in the newspaper or heard about it on CNN, that they didn't go ahead and just quit doing something without checking with their doctor first. So we should always encourage our patients to not stop taking anything their doctor has encouraged them to take until they've had a chance to talk to their physician. In the near term, taking calcium for an extra day or two isn't going to hurt anybody, but we do need to make sure that they're taking it effectively and with their doctor's understanding. So they should follow up with their physician in these situations. And that's what I want you to know, is to make sure that if you understand how these things come out in the news, patients often react to the headline without reading the rest of the story. It's your job as a medical professional, and you are a medical professional, just like nurses and doctors and everybody else, to have some understanding of how the media picks up and plays these things and how the public reads and understands or doesn't understand what's going on. And be an advocate for your patient and make sure that they are getting the correct information and talking to their prescriber, whether that's a doctor or nurse practitioner, whoever the case may be, to find out exactly what they should or shouldn't be taking. And that's the thing I want you to take away from this particular story. Next up over here, a recent update that came out over at medicalnewstoday.com talking about two new studies released looking at the effectiveness of compression-only bystander CPR. I get a lot of questions from listeners over time just checking out, well, what's the next update for CPR going to look like? What are we seeing? Are we going to be, I heard we're only going to be doing compression-only CPR and no ventilations. I got to be honest with you, I don't see that happening. I've looked at the research. Bystander CPR, initial CPR for a patient who's just collapsed, is probably going to be compression only, and it may extend into the healthcare arena. But overall, we still need to manage patient airways. We still need to appropriately ventilate patients. And by appropriately, I mean not overventilate them. But we do need to get oxygen into their lungs so that it can be transferred to the rest of their body via the bloodstream. And our compressions are what are doing that. So we need to have some kind of a balance. So healthcare, again, I think is not going to change hugely. We might have a larger compression to ventilation ratio. We may have increased scrutiny on overventilation and understanding of what that does to our patients and negative outcomes. But ultimately, this is really only talking about bystander compression-only CPR. And this is, again, just informational for you all so that you have the best correct information to share with your colleagues and with the public at large. The idea being that people will be more likely to do just compressions on a cardiac arrest patient. We need to get some form of CPR on these patients, and it seems that there is no significant difference when bystander CPR is performed with only compressions when compared with standard CPR using compressions and ventilations. And that's what these two studies have found out. And these are international studies, both in the US and around the world, that have looked at this, and it seems that there is not a significant difference in outcomes related to only having compressions performed by the initial bystanders at a cardiac arrest prior to the arrival of healthcare professionals. So you should understand that. The new guidelines are going to be coming out here sometime at the end of this year, and we should have an idea of where things are heading for the American Heart Association and understanding how we can improve our cardiac arrest survival rates. Finally, a quick story about transporting that STEMI patient, that suspected STEMI or identified STEMI cardiac, or not cardiac arrest, but heart attack patient, MI patient, to the appropriate facility. And a recent look at cost effectiveness and studies has found that it would be much more effective for just a protocol that says EMS takes all STEMI and suspected STEMI patients to a cath lab and not adding cath lab facilities to every little hospital out there. Usually, this doesn't seem to be that effective, probably because they aren't going to be doing a lot of catheterizations. They aren't going to have the staff on call 24/7. So you go to a local hospital after hours, and it's going to take them 1 or 2 hours to get the cath lab staff in. So you probably would have been better served to take that patient another hour down the road to the actual cath lab where they have everything set up and ready to go, and that patient will actually get into the cath lab and have the catheterization done much more quickly. So this is just a look at that study, and I thought I'd point it out to you that this goes back to our age-old adage. We're going to take the patient to the best appropriate facility, and adding cath lab facilities to every local tiny rinky-dink hospital out there is a great way to make money for that hospital, but it is not the best avenue for treating patients necessarily, especially patients that are in need of emergency and acute catheterization because of an ongoing MI that has been identified by us, the healthcare professionals in the field. These patients need the best center available that's going to be getting them to the table very quickly, and that's going to be your large established cath lab center. So there are links to all three of these articles in the show notes. I would urge you to follow up on those articles and let people know where you found them. And you can find those all over at medicacast.com/blog in the show notes for this episode. And I would urge you to check out these articles for yourself. And if needed, share them with your friends and colleagues. Coming up next is a segment I recorded previously. Great interview I had with Natalie Quibido, also known as Ms. Paramedic, and Jeremiah Bush, also known as Jeremedic, over on Twitter. And they are putting together a great new show called The Chronicles of EMS Mutual Aid. Now, Mutual Aid is a new show that they've put together. Ted Setlow over at the Chronicles of EMS has given them his blessing, and you can find out more about this episode. But I thought I would bring them on here and talk a little bit about how this show is set up, what to expect from the Mutual Aid show, Mutual Aid TV. And so without further ado, let's jump on in to that segment I was able to record with Natalie and Jeremiah before. Hi, this is Jimmy Davis, the PodMedic. I'm here with a special interview segment with Natalie Quibido and Jeremiah Bush. It's Bush, right?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. Okay.
That's the easy part of my name.
That's the easy part of your name. Did I get the first name right? It's Jeremiah.
Yeah, you
right?
did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were making me nervous there. Anyway, the folks really responsible for, if you've been following anything online, you know Ms. Paramedic, you know Jeremedic on Twitter, but they have put together the next kind of installment for Chronicles of EMS, their own version of Chronicles called Mutual Aid. And I wanted to bring them on the show to talk a little bit about what they're doing to make you, the MedicCast listeners, aware of what's going on. And I'm so excited we got this video Skype call together. So, hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for the warm welcome.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
It's always great to be on MedicCast.
Hey. And, you know, you both have, like, a standing invite. So if you happen to see me posting that there's a live show going on, just you know, come in.
You always post on the days that I work my Tuesdays. So it's always hard. But from now on, hopefully, I have a little more time to do that.
Well, hopefully. Let's work. We'll work that out.
Be live. Live from the station.
Yeah. Well, we can do that. That would be fun. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about how this evolved, because there was kind of some rumblings that something might be going on a few months ago, and then all of a sudden, Mutual Aid was born. So let's go back to the beginning. You and Jeremiah are from, you know, different parts of the country entirely. How did you both meet each other? How did this start out? Where did this first happen?
Well, Jer, you want to go ahead?
It was January of this year, and I had just started the blog, and Chronicles was getting ready for its San Francisco premiere. And I'm from Los Angeles, so I was like, oh, yeah, I'll, you know, totally make the few hours drive to go do this. And Natalie was on some of the other sites that I was, you know, I started my Twitter account and everything, and And we just started reading each other's material, and then Chronicles came up, and we were talking, and I said, well, hey, you know, you're kind of the only person I know that's in my age range. You know, let's get together all up there. And so we met in San Francisco and just, you know, started talking on all the same issues, and we got along with Ted really well. And she was in the early stages of her podcast, or I guess our podcast now. And really since Chronicles, we've just been on this little creative EMS bandwagon of, you know, coming up with ideas. And then over the months of knowing each other and doing different projects with the GenMed show or going to EMS on the Hill, you know, we'd always talk about the differences in our systems. And then with sort of the inspiration of Chronicles, this came about where I needed to finish my field internship for school. And I actually wasn't really having much luck finding a field internship in California for whatever reason. But myself and my school were trying really hard to find an agency that would take me on, and it wasn't really working. And she suggested her company, and then sort of the pieces all fit together. Well, okay, great. I need these hours, and this is beneficial for me, leaving a big metropolitan system to go work rurally, so it would advance my experience and career, because I've never worked in that kind of setting. And then it just sort of came up like, well, let's do something about it. Let's make a little documentary or a little show, and I don't know, we're sort of making it up as we go along. So, I mean, really, that big burst that you saw online of all of a sudden Mutual Aid came out, that was sort of when it came out for us, too. We're just like, all right, let's do this. And sort of here we are a couple weeks later.
Wow. So the light bulb sort of, just turn on.
Right.
Yeah, we just said, okay, well, let's do this. And we came up with a name and a logo and called Ted and said, we're doing this. What do you think? And it's been really well received. So.
Of course, Ted jumped on and was really excited, gung-ho about it. So without his support, it would have been a little bit more difficult. But he's been really receptive and letting us, you know, use the Chronicle site and all that. He's been amazing, and he's giving us so much support. You've given us so much support.
Well, yeah.
It just everyone, all of our EMS heroes have been really supportive, and that's so great.
Well, I think we, you know, we as providers, especially now in this era with Chronicles and everything else, a lot of people probably want to do what we're doing or what Chronicles is doing, and they don't necessarily have the time or the resources to be traveling across the country or across the world to, you know, experience other systems. So, yeah, this is an opportunity not just for me to experience a different system, but for everyone else. You know, what's it like in Louisiana? What's it like in California? Because I'm educating the people here of what my system's like.
Okay.
And in turn, the viewers are going to hear about my system. So, It's just sort of carrying on the I say Chronicles tradition as if it's that old, but it's the Chronicles mission statement almost of just educating and bringing providers together and doing that whole thing. So.
And it's, I think it's bearing out as we see the response to your initial videos, and you know, for people that haven't checked it out, do you guys have a website set up? Is it Mutual Aid? Do you have a name or website specifically for this? Where should somebody go if they wanted to find it most easily?
It has a YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/MutualAidTV.
Okay, Mutual Aid TV on YouTube. So yeah, there have been a few episodes. We, of course, watched you traveling to the airport in L.A. and the traveling around New Orleans. And, it's funny. My wife and I went to New Orleans 20 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long for our honeymoon. And, yeah, I know, I'm old. I saw the cathedral in the background. I'm like, oh, we were there. And, you know, all the street musicians. It's such a vibrant town. So I'm glad you got an opportunity to see that aspect, and then you got to travel out into the countryside and come out to the rural parts of Louisiana and see the different aspects of care from a metropolitan area all the way out to where you are now. So what are we looking for as far as a release schedule? You're going to try to put something out once a week? Is it as you can get material together, as something interesting pops up or topics? Do you have a set series of topics you're going to try to hit?
Well, right now it's kind of just whatever happens. He just finished his first shift last night with us, with me actually, and it's just getting all the footage together and editing it. We're trying to do twice weekly, you know, every Thursday at a set time, we'll do a live Ustream from my living room and answer questions and kind of just do what people want to see and, you know, all that. But as far as content goes, we're just, as things happen, we're filming.
Yeah, and it depends because yesterday I worked at the especially rural station. She has three stations, and this one is, you know, way out there. So there really wasn't much content to film. And we were talking about this on the car ride of just if we should combine yesterday's shift with the one later on this week and sort of do a, you know, a weekly recap just because there isn't really much to show from yesterday. So it's really going to be content driven. I would like to do nothing less than once a week. You know, just keeps everyone engaged. It keeps us busy of trying to produce things. So you can probably, you know, safely bet on once a week for sure.
Great.
But it's being backed up with the Ustream to sort of fill in the time between episodes and, you know, we're filling it up.
And, you know, we're not only working, but we're also living life outside of, you know, outside of work. And we hang out, we go see things, and he experiences new things, and we'll film that for sure. You know, I'd like to take him to a few plantations and do some very Louisiana things while he's here. So, you know, we'll film that and just kind of keep people interested in not just the professional story, but the personal journey that's happening for both of us, too.
But there's a lot of things in the area that are still EMS related that aren't exactly our project. You know, this is an area of the country where it's primarily a volunteer-based fire system. And, you know, a lot of small communities, and we're going to go around to some of the volunteer fire departments or maybe take a day and go down and visit New Orleans EMS. And so, you know, there'll be videos based around other, you know, other agencies in the area.
Excellent.
Because especially with her service, she works with a lot of different agencies just because of the size of her parish and the fact that each little community has their own volunteer system or their own, I would say, hospital system, you know.
We have two hospitals.
Not much of a hospital system, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. There's other things out there, so.
Yeah, well, we have one hospital in our county, so I understand. You know, we have some other neighboring facilities we go to, but there's only one in the county, so I completely understand. We're in a rural part of Maryland, and you know, it's different here than it is down in Baltimore City or other places, and so it's a really. I completely support what you're doing. I think a lot of times people that's one of the things I think is wonderful about Chronicles VMS is the ability for us to really open up discussion about not only how we're different, but how we're the same, because there are so many similarities about patient care in all levels of healthcare that are very similar. And the more we can learn about how we solve problems and find solutions to things in different areas, there's no reason some of those concepts can't be applied to other systems, whether they're larger or smaller. And I'm really looking forward to what you do with this.
Right. Well, that's what we're all trying to do. I mean, I've had talks with everyone where, you know, I try to mention Chronicles or EMS 2.0, and they say, oh, well, you're not the first one to try, so don't feel disappointed when it doesn't work out in 5 years or something. But I think the system is at a place. I think the providers and the technology now is at a place where we really can start communicating, and we can start taking the best from each system and maybe trying to get a unified idea of what EMS should be. Because, and I mentioned this on GenMed once, I sort of compared EMS to a cockroach, that it's just going to sort of evolve and thrive in whatever environment it happens to be placed in.
That was episode 3. That was your first episode.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, clearly EMS is very, very different here, but it thrives because it figures out how to adapt to its environment and its setting. And it has a lot of good practices that aren't in a metropolitan system, but that could be applied, and vice versa. There's a lot of things that we do in metropolitan EMS that they don't do rurally, but that just from being here for a week, I can see the huge benefit in putting in these practices or putting in these, protocols, just because. Yeah, well, one thing, I come from that system, so I question something about patient care or transport decisions or allocation of resources, and I go, why don't you do that? Well, why doesn't that make sense? Why isn't this person on scene? And then I ask them about it, and they just go, oh, well, we never thought of that. Not because they are opposed to it. It just never even came up.
Right.
Because they've never experienced that type of system. So it benefits everybody involved, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's the time frame here? You know, are you there for a specific set amount of time to get your hours in? Is this going to, and then you're back to LA? Or what are you going to do if they offer you a job, Jeremiah?
I don't believe I'll stay. Nothing against Louisiana, nothing against her company. There are just, you know, different opportunities in my state. I may end up staying for just a little while, but I, you know, it's where my home is. It's where I know that system, and I know a lot of the different companies and agencies
right.
out there, and
right.
that's sort of what.
To put you on the spot, but I was just curious about how long people could expect to see material from this particular installment of Chronicles, and how long you were going to be down there in Louisiana.
My, and this may be national, but my state requires a minimum of 24-hour shifts. That's the soonest you can get.
That's about right. Thrown.
Yeah.
So 19 shifts left.
19 more shifts left. I'm assuming whoever's ever precepting me lets me loose after 20. But it, depending on the success of this project, depending on you know, what we get as far as feedback, Natalie's planning on leaving her system in a few months, right?
Yes.
So before we even met each other, she said, oh, I want to come to California and work. So it's very possible that once this project ends for me,
it begins for me.
She'll be packing her bags and moving to California and starting a whole new system. So it could go into a second series or, you know, anywhere we want to take it. But
right.
to address your first question, as far as this goes, 2 months, maybe?
2.5, probably.
2.5 months, you could safely
Excellent.
Say.
Excellent. Yeah. So, wow, right around the time of EMS Expo.
Yes, we should be wrapping up around Expo. And
we'll be there.
So. We will be there, so, you know.
Well, we're working on getting some kind of a presence there, and we'll definitely, if we have a podcast stage live at Expo again this year, we will definitely be having the two of you on. We'd like to even maybe try to get a GenMed show together down there in some installment with at least you guys and maybe one or two other folks. And so we will be finding out more and following up with you, and I'm excited about what you're doing with Mutual Aid. Again, that YouTube channel is
youtube.com/MutualAidTV.
You can also find us on the Chronicles Ning website if you go under the videos.
It's under videos. It's Chronicles of EMS.
Ning.com.
Right.
And just in one of the tabs at the top, videos, and it says CoEMS Mutual Aid. All the videos are there too. So, and that's also a group. So if you're a member of the Chronicles Ning site, or if you want to become one, you can join the group. You can communicate with us. You can
get notifications via email whenever we post videos.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
so there
I want to thank both of you for taking the time to be here on the Medicast and share a little bit about your exciting project with the listeners here. I want to urge all the Medicast listeners to get out there and check this out, whether it's on YouTube or going over to the Chronicles of EMS Ning site. If you go to the main chroniclesofems.com, you can actually get there directly by clicking on the community tab at the top of the page. We'll take you to that Ning site. And of course, you can find the Medicast TV in our video episode segments there as well. So there's a lot of great content, new Seat at the Table episodes being posted all the time. And of course, the Mutual Aid program with Natalie and Jeremiah. And this is very exciting. I know a lot of other individuals in the social media EMS space are paying attention to what you're doing and are starting to say, hey, you know, I'd like to do something like that. I'd like to have somebody from another system come here and ride with me. And I think that this is going to be, you know, I don't think we foresaw this when we originally brought Justin and Mark together, but it kind of makes sense to do this on maybe a little bit smaller scale with individuals providing this real social media presence by doing this kind of project on their own and with some support from the rest of us. So you guys are leading the way, and it's very exciting.
Thanks. We're humbled.
Yeah.
Well, you've stepped up, and it's very exciting to see your leadership in the community, and I'm really inspired by what you're doing I just want to say that. I know, Natalie, you're always like saying you feel like you're humbled by my presence, but I've got to tell you, you guys are inspiring me to do more and to promote what you're doing, because this is, I think, going to be a changed moment as part of the continuing effort of EMS 2.0, of the Chronicles of EMS, and the EMS programming we're putting out there, because it's just very exciting. I'm going to be talking with Ted about getting the feed for you guys and starting to put that on the ProMed network. So we will try to get you guys a presence there as well. And I'm just excited about supporting you guys in every way I can, and I'm looking forward to maybe we can have you all on at EMS Expo on the Medicast to really talk about what you've learned as you're at the end of that process, and see what things have changed, and both what your medical knowledge and understanding is, but also how this process of social media worked and what you would do differently.
Yeah, that absolutely sounds great, and we are, we love all the support that we're getting, but it's kind of one of those things that this is something that we would have done anyway, you know? So, that's where other people can come in. I mean, you see the large budget that Chronicles is trying to campaign for to do their episodes, but really, if you just have a little bit of time and a video camera and you want to experience these things, it's there, and people can be making their own Chronicles like stories, and especially with the Chronicles Ning site, people can post videos and photos, and they're already starting to do that with their own systems.
Right.
But
Chronicles is really what we make it. It's not just Justin and Mark anymore. Right. It's, you know, it's a community thing, and I think, you know, I want to encourage people to, you know, go out there and do your own thing, and that's what makes it so great, is the uniqueness, and everyone's different, you know. So I'd like to see more content from Canada and Asia and Africa and Australia, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there's plenty of other people that are in our position on other areas of the country or other places of the world that could be doing this and then educating us about their system while we do it back to them. So it's a big opportunity for everybody.
Definitely. And, you know, I have to say, you know, that's important, but I like the concept of trading people. And maybe if we don't do it on such a huge scale with a full camera team, you know, maybe trading an individual who's going to be a regular poster and bring their own camera and do this kind of thing, understanding up front that that's what they're coming to do, can be very, with the materials we have, with Skype, with Ustream, and all of those resources available via the internet, it becomes much more cost effective to do it in this manner. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to move forward with Chronicles of EMS in a way that we really hadn't envisioned originally, because we were looking at a larger production budget. So I'm excited about this opportunity, and I think that the stage you all set here, the standards of how this program is going to work and what kind of materials will be put out is going to carry forward, and we can have other mutual aid spinoffs in the future. And so I'm looking forward to that, and we'll be following. So I want to thank you again. Natalie, where can we find you on the web?
You can find me twitter.com/MissParamedic, MissParamedic.com, facebook.com/MissParamedic. I'm all over. It's not hard to find me. Also, genmedshow.com is our little podcast that we've been doing for a few months now. So, you know, I'm all over. Google Miss Paramedic, Google Natalie Quillito. I promise you'll find me.
And Jeremiah.
And you can find me on Twitter, @Jeremedic. You can find me on Facebook. Just look for Jeremedic. The blog is jeremedic.com. And then also, if anybody wants to contact us as far as the project is concerned, you can do mutualaidtv@gmail.com. And, like Natalie said, we're doing Ustreams, and that's really the time for the viewers. So if you have a question about something in an episode that you saw, or there's something that you didn't see and you want to see, or you want us to travel somewhere or actually highlight something in the state, send us an email or send us a question, and we'll answer it on the Ustream or whatever. Because this is really, viewer-based and interactive, so...
We need you guys to stay alive.
it's one thing to watch and support, and we love that, but you can really get involved too, and we'd really like to see that feedback and like to hear your suggestions and your opinions and everything, because that can really sort of shape how this project goes. So,
And you stream on Thursdays, right? And what time?
We haven't really come to a decision yet because I bowl on Thursday nights. So we're thinking about doing two different... Yeah, bowling. I'm in the league, but I'm almost finished with it. But we were thinking about doing one before my bowling league and after, just for the East Coast people, West Coast people. It's trying to be friendly. So, you know.
Maybe one at 3 in the morning for the Euro.
Yeah, that'd be great to do one just for Mark.
Yeah.
Well, you know, definitely let us know. You know, we'll follow you, and that'll be able to, we'll be able to pay attention to what's going on. I know you'll be posting on Twitter when you guys are going to be doing those Ustream things. So if you follow Natalie or Jeremiah on Twitter, you can get that information. I'll try to pass that stuff along as it comes up on my radar too. But in the meantime, definitely follow them. YouTube.com/MutualAidTV, and it's great to have you guys on here on the Medicast.
Thanks for having us, Jamie.
It was great. Thanks, Jamie.
And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to thank Natalie and Jeremiah again for coming on the show and taking their time and their busy schedule to sit down with me and talk a little bit about their brand new show, Mutual Aid TV. And I'm looking forward to more episodes of this show coming out very soon. So we will be looking forward to that soon here. In the meantime, I will urge you to check out the links to their shows and everything else about this episode in the show notes for this episode over at medicast.com/blog, and you'll find the show notes link right at the top of the page. Also, don't forget to get back in touch with me. Let me know what you think about this episode. Share with me your thoughts for news items, links you'd like me to check out, or perhaps you'd like to make a correction on something. Definitely get back in touch with me. You can, of course, leave comments on any of the articles over at the MedicCast site, or you can shoot me an email, podmedic@mac.com, or call in on the voicemail line, 941-306-3342, 941-30-MEDIC. I also want to remind you, you can find the videos for this episode over at medicast.tv, and you will find that right there. Of course, I release the video segments for the podcast studio about a day after the audio podcast comes out, so you can find those videos and watch them right on the site, or you can find them in a variety of different locations, and we'll have the full podcast video up here in iTunes maybe by the time you're listening to this. So if you want to get that video and download it, it'll be playable on your portable device as well as on your computer. That's it for me. I'm going to close out the show with some PodSafe music. Actually, I consider this the PodSafe music song. Jeff Smith wrote this song back at the very beginning of podcasting called Not on the Radio. And it's kind of the podcaster's anthem, if you will. We haven't played it here on the show in a long time, and it's one of my favorites of Jeff's. Of course, you can find Jeff's music over at thejeffsmith.com. G-E-O-F-F is how you spell his name. And I would urge you to check out his music there or over on iTunes. There's a link in the show notes for that as well. Check out his songs and maybe purchase one or two of them. It's a great way to show your support for this independent artist who's been supporting podcasting since the very beginning. And I've been doing this for darn near 5 years now, and I gotta say that Jeff's been a great supporter of the podcasting community, so support Jeff as well. I'll get into his song here just now. In the meantime, I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I want to remind all of you to remember scene safety and BSI.
Somebody told me you're in San Francisco. They said you're working in a box.
Yeah, a cubicle.
Somebody told me that you're not on top of the world. You're probably walking down the street with your earbuds jammed so deep in your ear.
Yeah, you're going deaf.
You probably found this little MP3 for free. Way cooler out there.
Yeah, I think so.
But maybe you just like it in your cozy little world. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I can.
Virginia, we can make it on our own,
and we'll do it just fine.
I can't afford your record, but it's out of sight. Well, you can play this the night on the radio.